Blog Talk Radio.
Make some noise.
When I do this, don't tempt me. Won't walk the stroll and the label won't pimp me. That's when I was younger with my face all pimply. Now I be the run.
Okay. Let's get into this thing, Sports City. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm, back outside in front of the grill. Got this cookout set off, ready to go, and the grill is lit. Calling in by way of the state of Connecticut up in, well, I want to say Fairfield County. I don't know what county he's in, but we got the villain in the building. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, I'm still in Fairfield County, villain. I'm just in a different area, a little bit up north, but I'm still here. I'm with you, Timeless. How you doing, baby?
Took off my blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way. Only got 60 minutes to do it. I know people come in here, try to get their late dishes, try to roll over as best as possible. Got a lot of stuff to get into, but I'm glad that he's moved far away from me, so get him out of the county as best as possible, because I'm about to start singing, "The witch is dead."
Let me start. Oh, you know you miss me. You miss me.
No. Keep him out of there. Keep him as far as possible. I'm starting to see clear skies and everything, man. Once he comes around, it gets dark and people start acting funny, like, no, keep him where he need to be, man. Tell him to go ahead.
Go ahead.
So, I know he better go ahead. So, there's a lot of stuff to jump into, i.e., this week coming up, we got the NBA draft also. But there was some stuff that was going on in the kitchen that I do want to jump into. But first and foremost, before I jump into anything that went on in the kitchen from last week, I want to get your thoughts because it's not really being talked about, and I think it deserves some talk. Your thoughts on Notre Dame knocking off Clemson. I have not really gotten to talk to many people about the situation. I want to see your thoughts, and this is the bad part about Clemson losing, right? Unfortunately, Trevor Lawrence is suffering from the coronavirus, and he sat out 2 weeks. And then it's a situation where you're looking at it like, damn, if he would have played, what would have happened? And he's not injured. It's just that he has to stay away from people. Now, does Clemson run this table, get into the playoffs, and end up potentially meeting Notre Dame? If Notre Dame falls off, they don't get to play each other. And then it's like, what about that rivalry or the game that could have happened with Trevor Lawrence being there? You know, all of the speculation that can be drawn out about it. I want to know your thoughts on the game, how it was potentially played in your eyes, and the scenario that I'm addressing with Trevor Lawrence not being there and potentially being there for the month of December, January.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of touched on it really at the tail end of the cookout. I think we were scraping the bottom of the pot, trying to get everything settled away so we could start doing dishes and everything. But listen, first of all, I got to give Notre Dame props. At home, took care of business. You know, they were in a lose-lose situation, TP. I think we kind of mentioned it last week where if they won the game, well, you're supposed to win. Trevor Lawrence didn't play. And if they lose the game, how can you lose the game? Trevor Lawrence didn't play. So, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, you know, good thing they won the game. But, you know, I was kind of impressed with what I saw, especially defensively in their front seven, more of the front, the defensive line. I thought Notre Dame would win a close game. I didn't think it would be a blowout. But I think their defensive line really dominated that game and was really physical with Clemson and kind of, you know, not exposed Clemson, but Clemson is more of a finesse team. Notre Dame's a bully team. They're a big team. But I saw some speed out of Notre Dame too, which I hadn't seen in a couple years, so I was impressed with that too. But I think Notre Dame's physicality kind of overwhelmed Clemson. They made it a close game. They put it into overtime, obviously. You know, and I think DJ had a good game. The running back, I always get his name wrong. It's Anthony. I always get his name wrong. He, you know, ATN, right. So, I thought he looked okay. Clemson is going to – listen, I thought Clemson is in a position where if they lost that game, it wouldn't have made a big difference to your point. They would – if they run the table, get to the championship, why you have a championship game now. They get to the championship game, whoever they play. If they win, they're in. One loss team, they'll be a 4 seed, maybe 3 seed, but they'll still get in. Notre Dame, they could run the table, get to the final. I think if they lose that game, I think they have enough wins under their belt to probably sneak into the playoff, especially with what's going on across the country with the COVID. Ohio State, Maryland's canceled. Wisconsin hasn't played. I think they've only played one game. And a lot of teams, the Pac-10's just getting going now. So I think Notre Dame, that they've played long enough and they have some quality wins in their belt, they'll probably get in. So, but it was a good game. It was entertaining. It was a long game. But I thought Clemson did okay to stay in the game, but Notre Dame did what they had to do, and they looked good doing it, being very physical with them.
Who do you like again in college football? I forgot. Who are you a fan of?
Florida State. My team stinks. Thank you very much.
Okay. No, that was good. That was funny to me. I had to get that one out there. But no,
of course
you
did. Yeah, the U, right? The U.
Wait. Slow down. So, in the ACC, it makes everything. Wait, stop. Okay, so everything in the ACC is now even more interesting because Miami did suffer a loss to Clemson, but with Clemson now losing, Miami has a shot to get to the ACC championship,
You're gonna put Miami in? Yeah, whatever. No, it's not happening. Come on, stop.
Am I lying? I'll let you finish. Just because Florida State is no longer relevant right now, like this is bad. Florida State hasn't been relevant for about 3 years now. Bad.
So, yeah, I know. It's been a while.
I didn't say anything about them. I didn't even want to put them in there. This is what the scenario I'm setting up for the ACC. There's multiple teams with at least undefeated or one loss. Clemson losing puts Miami back into the midst of this. If Miami runs the table, I want to see what they'll do to put to the ACC championship, let alone, a lot of people are going to want to see Notre Dame and Clemson go back at it because Trevor Lawrence probably will be more or less available at that time to play. But just to throw my hat in the pot, I do like the scenario that Miami can go back and have that quote-unquote Catholics versus convicts game. So, I love that. Too many people in my family are Notre Dame fans. I'm the Hurricane fan. I would love to see that go down. That's just something to throw on the grill. Let that simmer. But Miami has to handle their own business as they have a few interesting conference games and they have been winning them. But it has been a test for them. And everybody's going to play their A game when they play Miami because they know they're on. But that's neither here nor there. Now, I have been going through situations with my sports team. Now, I've been picking on Barry and talking about the Knicks and the Giants and, stuff like that. Well, now there are scenarios going on in Oklahoma City. So, first and foremost, they are talking about potentially trading Chris Paul, which Chris Paul had requested a trade earlier in the postseason when Oklahoma City got ousted out of the postseason. Chris Paul started asking for a trade. Now this is a rising to the top. And then, as of today, the Thunder get their head coach, Mark Daigneault, right? Now, here goes the crazy part, right? I want to say Billy Donovan's been there for 5 years. He's gotten to one Western Conference final. KD leaves, and they can't get out of the first round. Enter a coach that is 35 years old to a team that needs help now. They're going to basically watch this team either fall straight by the wayside or grow with this guy. Now, his resume is interesting. He's been a part of Oklahoma City's D League and G League team and won championships there. But this isn't the D League. This is the real league. So it's like What move did Sam Presti do? Now, this is the crazy part about Sam Presti. As much as I sit here in this kitchen and feel some type of way or get mad at the move that he'll make, it always ends up working out. And it's like, I got to apologize in my head, like, every time that I've gone against him and the next thing you know, something happens. This one, it baffles me because if you don't trade Chris Paul, it's like Chris Paul is in front of a coach that's the same age as him. This coach is 35 years old. So I don't know how much experience he'll bring to the table other than the resume of being in the D-League, things of that, you know, that's, you know, in that realm. But your thoughts on the Thunder with the Chris Paul situation and Mark Daigneault being the new head coach of the team as of today.
Yeah, I mean, I just heard about Daigneault not too long ago. I was doing some other stuff. I was looking at some other things. But, you know, 6 years, I mean, 6 years, and he's already the head coach. I mean, he's got a good resume, like you said, in the D-League. I think that's probably what attracted them because, honestly, the Thunder aren't a win-now team, and they're not a team built to win in the very near future. So I think you want somebody that can develop young talent, so that's why you bring him in. I think it's funny that they're kind of trying to paint Chris Paul as a guy that requested a trade. I think, you know, everybody kind of figured the Oklahoma City was a stopgap for him and not really where he was going to finish his career, quote unquote, or win championships. So I think it was in both parties' interest for him to be traded from the team where Oklahoma City can acquire draft picks and currency and Chris Paul can get traded to a winner. I think there's a lot of teams that could use Chris Paul, including the Knicks, the team that I root for, but I'm on strike until James Dolan sells the team. I think there's some teams that have come up that have been interesting to me, and I'd love to get your opinion on it. But, you know, I've seen the Bucks, I've seen the Suns that they're in discussions to trade with the Thunder. I've seen the Heat been mentioned. I've seen the Clippers actually being mentioned. I think out of all those teams, I think the smart fit actually is the Clippers. I think he might end up in Milwaukee. I can't really, you know, it's really kind of my opinion. Milwaukee might do a little bit more to get him. I think if they give up Bledsoe and Lopez and some draft picks, I think they can entice the Thunder. I think going back to the Clippers is the smart move. I think they need a guy that's a floor general that can get Paul George and get Kawhi the ball when they need it in the spots that they need it. And Chris Paul is one of the most underrated point guards in the history of basketball, not just in the league right now. I think in the history of basketball, I think with his size, he's an 18-10 guy. You know, shoots over 85% from the free throw line. It's a great shooter and is a floor general. I think he kind of gets lost in the shuffle because he hasn't had that playoff success. But I think he's one of the better point guards to ever play. And I think going to one of those situations, I think the Clippers being the best situation would be a good move for him. And I think for Oklahoma City, but Oklahoma City wouldn't be able to get some good currency back from the Clippers. That's why I think the Bucks probably have an edge in trading for them.
So I don't know. I know you all my life. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you like comedy. Do you like comedy? I think you like comedy. You know,
of course.
Right? Well, there's a comedian named Mark Cooper. He used to have a show called Hanging with Mr. Cooper. He said, "You ain't got to go home." But you ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell up out of here. So I don't want to hear you talking that, dealing to L.A., dealing to – listen, no. It was already bad enough.
So you don't like that. You don't like that.
No, I don't like that. And please stop interrupting me while I get my little rant off. I got to talk. I got to tell them how I feel. I got to talk about this team as I see it. You know what I'm saying? Now, it's already bad enough that we watched the Rockets do some crazy stuff and toss them to us for Russ. And it's like, okay, I was mad watching Russell leave and brought CP3 there. And the year before, I was talking junk about CP3. I was like, CP3 lost a step. And now it's like, okay, all of a sudden, CP3 is stepping his game up and leading my team. Now it's like, I got to eat my words, tell myself to shut up. And CP3 doing enough work to not only get us to the playoffs, but we should have been the fourth seed. But they gave Houston the fourth seed for some odd reason because we had the tiebreaker on them. We had the same record, but I don't get it. But that's neither here nor there. But why would they deal him to a Western Conference team where you're going to potentially end up having to see him three or four times, and the Suns are an up-and-coming team, like, or the Clippers don't need any more weapons. Like, stop fueling these teams that already are stacked. Like, we got to look out for ourselves, like, let alone the Thunder got, I think it's like 9 picks from the Clippers, and I think it's like 4 or 5 from the Rockets in the 2 trades that they pulled off with Paul George or Chris Paul. And it's like waiting for all those picks to land. That's almost impossible that you see something pan out in the 2020 decade. So I feel like the Suns may be a fair move, but it's stacking them up. They are missing a point guard. I could think at least about 4 drafts in a row that they went point guard and it never worked out. So them getting Chris Paul basically in his last couple of years there may work out because they got Devin Booker. But if it were me, Sam Presti, you better be up in there pulling every string possible to get Booker to OKC. I'm not trying to watch you send Chris Paul and Booker together and then be another tandem in the Western Conference. We do have Aaron Simmons in the building. Aaron, welcome to the cookout. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, gentlemen, I'm good. How we doing?
Aaron, my man, what's up, brother? Real quick before Aaron goes, I just got to say, TP, you sound like a Thunder fan that is confident you're going to win sometime soon. So you don't want to trade Chris Paul. Like, that's not the format right now.
Hold on. Slow down. Because this isn't the Knicks here. Like, I'm not worried about coming out from 9 wins on a season and just happy to see, like, 17. Like, no. This is a team that was close to getting 50 wins on a season and was competitive in the Western Conference and needs that leadership. Granted, they are looking at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to be the guy, but I don't think he's ready. Like, don't get rid of Chris Paul until SGA is ready. Like I get it. Like, people want to see the youth come in here and get their experience. No, I'm not trying to watch this fuel any other team across the board. Now, you being a Knicks fan, needing pieces, I understand your frustration. I understand that you want to make this
deal.
Hold on. I didn't cut you off. Look, I understand you want to make a deal with the Rockets and try to get Russell Westbrook up in the New York City.
Listen, this has been a discussion.
I'm not making this up. This is no lie. This is real. This is talk. This is tough here, but nevertheless, because I understand where this may end up going. Mr. Simmons, how are you feeling this evening? Because I'm being rudely interrupted.
Well, you know, gentlemen, I'm good, man. So let me go ahead and say what I got to say about this current situation, and then we can bleed into something else. As far as CP3, you know, being traded anywhere or going anywhere, you know what I'm saying? Let me start off by saying that. CP3 has arguably been one of my favorite players to ever put on a pair of basketball shorts. Like, the way he handles the rock, the way he's a legit floor general, and when he was able to get acquired and play with Houston, you know what I'm saying, I was one happy dude, you know what I'm saying? Not only did one of my favorite players get to play with my squad, but, you know what I'm saying, he's an injury away, in my opinion, from helping us get over the hump and get to an NBA Finals. You know, fast forward, you know what I'm saying, my man gets dealt to a squad which I can't stand for a player of which I, you know, wasn't a fan of. You know what I'm saying?
Wasn't, right? Excuse me, sir.
I didn't interrupt you. Pump the brakes. Okay. So now, fast forward, you know what I'm saying? The gentleman, you know, is now being, you know, rumored to be traded yet again. I know it's a long shot, but I want that dude back in Houston. Let's keep it a buck. I want that dude back in Houston. Now, is that going to happen? Probably not. I don't see him going anywhere in the East. I don't see Milwaukee, you know, being in play here, you know, because they need to figure out what they're going to do with Giannis. You know what I'm saying? Everything I'm hearing about Giannis is he's trying to, you know, go to Miami, or he's, you know, being linked and rumored, you know, with Golden State and these other teams, you know, to form his own little super team or dynamic duo or trio, whatever you want to say. So I really don't see the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, in play for Chris Paul. I don't see the Clippers being in play neither, even though I do agree with Barry. It makes sense, you know, from an X's and O's standpoint, from a competitive standpoint, you know, move Beverly back to the bench, put CP3 at the one, and then you got, you know, Paul George, you know, Kawhi Leonard and company, you know, with a legit floor general. But if I'm Sam Preston, Oklahoma City Thunder, man, I hold on to that dude for dear life.
I don't know what Terrence ate today, but just send me a plate. I don't know what you sent him, but I need you to bring that to the cookout. Cause that boy eating good in my neighborhood. Yes.
Oh my god.
Look, if he keeps this up,
Barry,
if he keeps this up, he might end up saying Russell Westbrook on air because he said it to me a couple of times this year, too. A couple of times it's happened. It's happened. So things are changing.
See what happens when you agree with TP? He comes with cheap shots.
Yeah,
like a true villain.
He really does. He really does.
I mean, seriously, TP, I want to say this, and then I'll let you go. Seriously. Why would you keep Chris Paul? I love Chris Paul. I think he's underrated point guard all the time. I said that. But you're not going to attract anybody to come there and compete with the Lakers, with the Warriors, with the Rockets if they keep their pieces, and the Clippers. You'll be the fifth best at best in that conference. Why would you keep him? Why?
He's still grooming
okay. SGA. Like I don't feel SGA is like playoff competitive ready. Like that was his second year in the playoff because he played last year with the Clippers and they got ousted quick. Hold on. They got ousted quick last year with the Clippers and then he came in this year with OKC and SGA was a no show. Like this guy was off and running early this season and next thing you know he got to the postseason and it was like he seen the brightest lights ever and couldn't play ball no more. So it's like I don't trust the future right now with SGA with no guidance, let alone a new coach. Like, keep Chris Paul there until, like, okay, he gets it, and we may not win, which is highly probable, but it's like, okay, we're going to ship. I'm not watching him go nowhere. If it's up to me, Sam Presti, deal him to the Orlando Magic. Bury Chris Paul. Like, I don't even want to hear him be relevant. Like, let him get some Mickey Mouse ears, plan out his doggone retirement, and that be that. I don't want to see him go to the Clippers. I don't even want to see him go to the Suns or Milwaukee. I wouldn't want to see him fuel any other team to get over the hump. Like, no way. Even though I respect him as the man of Chris Paul and his journey, and I followed him ever since high school when his grandfather died, but I'm not watching my team continue to be the farm system, if you will, for the NBA. I watch KD go, Harden go, Ibaka go, Reggie Jackson go. I watch all of these dudes leave the Thunder. The Thunder have nothing to show for it other than a bunch of draft picks. Hell no, I'm not watching Chris Paul go somewhere and help another team out. There's no way, no how. I'm not watching it happen.
Well, see, here's the funny thing that TP mentioned. You know what I'm saying? The Thunder was supposed to be the team that he went to get buried. If you want to, if you think that, like, this dude got dealt to OKC and the talk and everything before the season started, even during the first part of the season, was, is Chris Paul going to suit up and play? Is he going to play? Is he frustrated? Is he upset that he got dealt? He's not trying to do the rebuild thing. And unfortunately, you know what I'm saying, you know, the OKC Thunder caught fire and balled out. But here's the thing. If you deal Chris Paul away, you're not attracting anybody to OKC anyway. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's going to show up to go play with, you know, Lou Dort and SGH and, you know, Steven Adams and nobody. Like, you're not going to attract anybody. So if you want to quote-unquote attract people to come play with OKC, not that I stamp this as a Rockets fan, but if you want to attract people to come play with OKC, you better have a piece that they respect, you know, there, and CP3 is that piece.
Okay, well, just like I said, I don't want to see it happen, but I understand – you know, other team. And if he were to stay in OKC, I mean, and you could pick on Lou Dort all you want. That guy was balling to be a rookie and putting up 30 points in a playoff game, like, that's solid. That's solid out the gate. Like, I don't know what happened for Chris Paul to already be ready to go as soon as they lost in the first round. And they lost by a damn possession where I think it was Dennis Schroeder that passed the ball. He passed the ball to Steven Adams. Like, Steven Adams was going to take a jump shot from the three-point land with 2 seconds on the clock. It was like, wait, hold on. So I feel like it didn't end the right way. Interesting enough.
He passed the ball to James Harden and blocked the shot.
No,
yeah.
That's not the end of the game. No, that's not the end of the game. Yeah, Harden made the crucial block. The Rockets won by two. The inbound pass went to Steven Adams at the three-point line, and he held onto the ball without shooting the ball. I can pull up the play-by-play. See, you like the Rockets. I love the Thunder. There's a difference. See, but that's neither here nor there. So what I'm saying is they need to keep him there to try to fuel the next point guard coming because, to be honest, I wasn't aware of this until like 2 days ago. Gallinari is a free agent. So if he doesn't stay, a lot of pieces fall. Things open up if they try to bring somebody there for the three position, so on and so forth. So the Thunder have work to do. They got a lot of pieces to work with. But interesting enough, this draft is here. So I wonder which way they go with the draft. If they go with a point guard now, like I.E., I know they probably won't get to LaMelo Ball because I know LaMelo, he's going to be the first thing moving. But there are some big names coming out right now. I don't want one of those athletic point guards. Like, as much as I love Russ when he was OKC, like, it won't get the job done. It won't. But I don't know. We'll see.
Well, speaking of the draft, though, I mean, it looks like there's a couple teams looking, the Knicks, the Bulls, and I think another team looking to trade into the number two spot that the Warriors got, presumably to get Ball or to get I don't know. Maybe it's probably Ball. I mean that looks like the guy. I think Wiseman will probably be there, might be there as well, depending on how it flips out. But yeah, I mean, you know, the draft's going to be it's going to be interesting to see what the Warriors do with that number two pick.
How about you? What do you think about the work? Yeah.
If I'm Golden State, I stay right there and keep Wiseman.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I mean, that's I think that's the missing piece. I think you can get a shooter that can defend as a free agent on the cheap. I think you get another big that can go with Draymond Green. Hopefully Draymond Green remembers that he's a forward that really isn't a guy that hangs out by the three-point line and is a point forward. You're not Scottie Pippen. You're a rebound power forward. But they need a big. I think Wiseman is the smart pick. And there's probably another guy there too. But I think the best available is at number two. It won't hurt this team at all. I agree with you, Zarius.
To me, the best, unless you're looking for a solid five, the best big coming out is Obi Toppin. If you guys have not heard about Obi Toppin, you better do some homework. This dude does it all. He rebounds. He's a high flyer. And he did it out of Dayton. So he was making enough noise out of Dayton to have these guys potentially in a postseason run in the tournament, but COVID happened and we couldn't see him play. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, Wiseman would be the legit center that you see coming out. But to me, Obi Toppin is phenomenal at the big position out of five. I mean, out of four, but I know that the way that the Warriors work small ball would be very interesting. Mm-hmm. And it's
so
funny,
but wait,
because
TP, I think you bring up a good point. Would it hurt the Warriors to trade that pick back down to maybe the number eight spot, still get the kid from Dayton, and then get assets for him? Maybe if you trade back, the Knicks give you I don't think they would give up Robinson, but maybe if you ask for him, you get the best of both worlds. I don't think the Knicks would do that.
If you're the Warriors, why wouldn't you trade back a couple picks?
I mean, listen, I don't want
don't
the Knicks
say,
to trade
on,
up.
Don't you,
to,
wait,
I don't. I don't.
Don't you know?
Yeah.
Don't you know? KD just cursed them. KD said nobody wants to go to the Knicks. Did anybody argue with him right now? Anybody?
You don't get to pick where you get drafted. Anyway. I don't want the Knicks to trade. I don't want the Knicks to trade up to the number two spot because that would be my worst fear realized, other than Dolan still owning this team when I wake up in the morning, is that LaMelo Ball is a Knick. That's the worst thing that I don't want that to happen. But if I was the Warriors, I would trade back out of the two spot, because why would you draft that kid at two when you can trade back, get assets, and still get that kid at a later 6 to 10 range. So why wouldn't you do that?
Hey, I try to talk you off of that ledge to get you out of New York, and you don't want to leave. So if you want to be stuck there and agonizing and watching Dolan kick, Oakley out of the building, then you could stay there.
I don't watch.
This is bad. You don't watch, and you want to talk it. Like no, you have to be
able
to.
No, listen.
I feel like
Listen.
I feel like you're the old lady in the chair, and your hands are tied, and I grab both of your four eyelids and just keep your eyes open so you can watch. So you have to watch. You know what I'm saying? There's no way to just sit up here.
I don't watch. No, I don't.
This is bad.
I have my picture of Walt Clyde Frazier on my wall, right above my computer, the great Walt Clyde Frazier. That's as much Knicks as I have watched all year. I have been abused. I have been led astray. Listen, this is like a bad marriage where I've been getting beaten, abused emotionally, physically. I don't have to take this anymore. I am Tina Turner when I got beat up and I punched Ike in the face in that limo. And then I ran across the street to that hotel and escaped. I am running across the street and escaping from James Dolan until he sells the team.
Barry.
And then I will look him in the face just like I did in that courtroom and say, okay, you can have everything, but I want my name. I want the Knicks name back home where it belongs. Now, and you can come back and say, no, I ain't got nothing. I got some jewelries, and I ain't got nothing else. You can go, but the name stays home. The name stays home. I am on strike from James Dolan.
I'm the hotel across the street. I'm the hotel. I'm trying to get you checked in. I'm going to have you singing Buddhist charms. Nam yam reke yon kyo. I'm gonna help you.
Shout out to that movie, man. Lawrence Fishburne and Angela Bassett, man. I still quote that movie. I don't care.
Look. I really hope LaMelo Ball falls to the Thunder. I would love to have him, but looking at the teams that's there, that you know that they're gonna get him early. But where do you think he goes? Do you think he goes number one, or do you think he ends up falling? And just watching him for the past, 3 years, watching him go from 6 feet, this dude grew 7 inches in 3 years. He's actually the same height as Lonzo. I was going to say LaMelo again. I get them all confused. So him and Lonzo are the same height right now. So where do you think he'll go? Do you think he does go first or second, or does he fall lower?
He's not going to the Warriors at two. I think he had a workout today with the Timberwolves. I think that's on the cards, because the Timberwolves will be stupid to draft Wiseman. Wiseman has come out and said, I don't want anything to do with Minnesota. And rightfully so, because they already have Towns. They already got Cat. So, why would you want to go there? That's just, you can have the Twin Towers, but that's not how the league works these days. So, I think the Timberwolves, if they don't draft Ball, I can see him dipping. I could see him going as far as four. I don't see him going much farther. I don't see him going two unless the Warriors trade out of that pick. Then I think you're trading into that pick to get Wiseman or Ball. So it depends on what the Warriors do, but I think the Timberwolves are definitely in play for Ball.
Aaron, what do you think? Aaron, are we having technical difficulty?
He's probably not there. What do you think? So what do you, I mean, this draft is interesting because there's really good players. There's not that one, like, LeBron James transcendent type player. You only get those once in a blue moon. But, I mean, there's not that can't-miss number one draft pick. There's a couple guys that you could take with the number one pick, and they would be justifiably number one pick. So, what do you think? I mean, where do you see him going? Where do you see the top five going at all? I mean, if you want to play that game.
Well, I think he does end up landing in Minnesota. They can use him right now. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with all of the pieces that they did lose. And it's really just Cat up there. I'm not a big D'Angelo Russell fan at all. He's streaky. Like he'll have a game where he's scoring like 29 points, 33, 36, and the next thing you know, 7, 11, 13. It's like, wait, hold on. Where's that dope in your vein that you keep pointing at every time you hit a three-point shot? Like, I'm not believing in that. While LaMelo not only proved himself here in America, he's also played internationally professionally, so he'd be able to take over those duties, and they could run a dual point guard threat in Minnesota. That's how I see it for LaMelo. If he were to fall out of the top five, that'd be great. I don't think Anthony Edwards is the guy to go to Minnesota. They already are, you know, trapped at the three position because every time a small forward goes there for some odd reason, it just doesn't work out. I mean, they have him listed as a shooting guard, but I don't think he's going to be the trigger man for Minnesota, let alone in the Western Conference. I think he'll get shot out of the OK Corral trying to do that madness. So that would
sure.
be another. That's what I see those top two players going in the top pick. So I think LaMelo would land in Minnesota if Minnesota was smart.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I like Edwards, but he doesn't, like, wow me. Like, I think he's probably, after Ball, the best guard in the draft, without question. But he doesn't, like, wow me. Like, you know, I think he would be a solid fit in Chicago at the number four spot. I don't think the Hornets are very high on Edwards. I can't prove that, but it doesn't sound like they want him. I think they're going to go big. Wiseman should be wearing blue and gold. I mean, he should be a Warrior. The Warriors should not be trading out of that pick unless they're getting, like, you know, a can't-miss star that's going to come in and help them win. They don't need help to win as far as star power. They got the horses they need. They need guys that can come in and do the dirty work with Green. They need a Wiseman. So, I wouldn't be surprised if Ball goes one to the Timberwolves. I wouldn't be surprised if Wiseman goes to the Warriors if the Warriors stay in the number two spot. They'd have to get a trade to wow them to get out of that spot. I think Edwards at four. Okongwu or whatever. I always get these names brutalized. But I think the Hornets are probably in the mix for him. And then it goes from there. So, I like the guard from Iowa State, Halliburton.
Yeah, he's good.
I think he's good. I like him. I think, you know, he's got, you know, I think he's a better fit with at the number five spot in Cleveland than Sexton is. I like Sexton, but not that much. I think Sexton's probably a role player. So I think they would be smart to draft them, but you never know. I mean, they could turn around, they could go, you know, turn around and get that international kid, Denny. So he's an interesting pick. Whoever comes off the board and gets him, it's an interesting draft because, like I said, there's not that one player that, I mean, outside of maybe Wiseman and Ball that screams you got to draft this guy at the one or two. After that, there's a lot of guys that can flip flop, and you would say, "Oh, yeah, that's a good spot." Like they can go from 3 to 10, and you wouldn't be like, "Oh, well, he dropped." Like, no, you would say, "Oh, that's a good pick." You know what I mean? Like, so it'll be interesting,
to say the least.
As long as the Knicks don't just blow it. I mean, as long as they don't reach for a crappy point guard. You know, I try not to talk about the Knicks. It hurts when I talk about it. Can we move on? I don't want to talk about
it. You sound like you're leaving.
No, I'm not leaving. I just, they utterly depressed me. I don't have to go through this anymore. You know what I mean? I left. They didn't leave me. I left them.
Hey, I've been trying to get you out of there for the longest, and you want to stay there. That's cool. That's fine.
Well, no, we're separated right now. You know, we're living in the same house for the kids, but we're separated. You know, they sleep in their room, I sleep in mine. You know what I mean?
Well, I know they up there screaming. Go ahead. You better go ahead.
So I wanted to ask you a question, though. Seriously, I love the draft talk. We'll come back to that next week. We can definitely do a whole presser on that. But listen, I got to bring it up. Isaiah Thomas came out this week and said the legendary Michael Jordan was the fifth best player that he ever went against, and that he dominated Michael Jordan when he played. I mean, like, at face value, I can understand what he's saying because his team beat his Pistons team beat on the Bulls, and I think Isaiah had a winning record against Michael Jordan. And like after when Jordan finally broke through in 91 on, he was the best player stretch of time. Before that, he was a great player that couldn't win. And that was the time that Isaiah dominated him. I get that. But to put him at number five, it's just hate. And it's like it's between him and really it's only him and Lambeer are the two biggest Jordan haters I've ever seen. So anytime I see them come with their opinion on who was the GOAT and who was the dominant one and what team was better, blah, blah, blah. It's always filled. It's not an answer coming out with. It's not an objective answer. It's an answer like wrought with hate. Like I don't know where you kind of sit on that, TP. But for me, I can't take anything Isaiah says at face value. Plus, he's the major reason why he's one of the reasons why me and the Knicks are on hard times right now because of what he did to my team. But I'll let you take it.
Okay, I'm gonna say it like this. The Knicks and Isaiah Thomas. Oh God, it doesn't get any better than this. Oh my goodness, please somebody, please take the microphone from me. Okay, no. these two are gonna go at it. These two are gonna go at it until how do I say it? 2023. Oh, no, 2023, because Michael Jordan will be 60. I think Isaiah's around the same age as him. I think once they get 60 years old and deal with each other, like, hey, like let's let bygones be bygones, this is going to continue to go on. Isaiah Thomas, no, he's out of his mind saying that about Mike. Now, listen, you can go back. I think it was like the 97 finals or the 98 finals where Isaiah was a color commentator. Like, he was one of the guys on the sideline calling the whole game. And Isaiah was up there, and while the Bulls are in the finals now, saying Mike was the best ever on the sideline. And now all of a sudden, since Mike is showing some type of way or feeling some type of way, that now Isaiah is going to be the guy to stand offish and say, oh, Mike wasn't better than this. I'm going to pick LeBron. Like, dog, you guys are mad at each other. Like, you guys are going to hang over this. Isaiah, you have two championships. You caught Mike when he was young. Mike dominated while you ran out of the league in, like, 93, 94, and that was that. Like get all of y'all get over it, all of it, including you, Mike, including you. But there's no way that I'm going to watch him say that he's Michael Jordan is fifth. Like, I still – look, and damn it, he took out my damn Sonics. Like, I'm not a Bulls fan, and I'm going to say Mike is number one. Like, hell no. Like, the only one that I compete with Mike is Kareem because of – there's no way that I can look at Kareem's resume and be like, yo, there's no way I'm going to just clear-cut give Mike. That's an argument. Let alone looking at Magic's joint. It's like Magic's resume is crazy, too, because Magic played 11 years and got five championships and went to nine finals. Like, that's crazy. In 11-year span, fresh out the gate, like, come on. Like, I'm not trying to hear what Isaiah got to say. They need to get over themselves, the two. But I do got serious back.
I mean, listen, Michael does too, because you're right. Michael does too. Michael is the guy that, you know, said, yeah, they tried to end my career with the way they beat him up. So you're right. Both of those guys need to get over.
Okay, Mr. Simmons, are you back?
Yeah, what's up, fella?
Okay. I know y'all was up in here last week trying to pick on me, the two of y'all, right? Talking about some dude named Cameron, right? And Cameron had to do all that he could to put together a comeback win up against the New Jersey Jets. The New Jersey Jets. But a lot of people are saying this game isn't the game that revitalizes what he had started already. I want to see how you guys feel about how that game was played out of the gate for the Patriots as they pulled off a shocking win. They shocked me enough that they just got out of that because I thought Joe Flacco was going to win that game. Barry, I'll let you start that one off.
Are we really doing this right now? We're going to spend the last 15 minutes of the show talking about the Jets. All right, fine. Let's do it then. Listen, the Jets should have won that game, but only the Jets can figure out a way to be the Jets, to lose and lose miserably against Cameron Newton. Like, the Jets are so boo-boo. Like, I can't even, thank God the Jets figured out that they really just want Trevor Lawrence they don't suck you. They suck you in, but at the end they're going to break your heart because that's what they do. But either way, Cam had a good game against the Jets. Great. Wow. Terrific. You know what I mean? Like, okay. Like, they almost lost the game. And I saw Cam make some good throws. I saw him make some good decisions. But, I mean, we're talking about the Jets. Okay? Jets. I mean, you could have put Florida State up against them, and they would have put up a better fight.
Listen, Florida State would get blown out trying to go up there against the Jets. You see how bad Florida State looks?
Yeah, I do. I actually watch.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I didn't want to serve up some cricket soup. I didn't want to do that. I'm sorry if I gave you a bowl. I'm sorry. I'll leave you alone. I just want to make sure that I got you and Sirius to hear that. So things can be on the upside. We'll see what comes about this Sunday. But so since we got Sirius here, I do got to give.
Hold on a second.
Stop. Wait. No, we got a show to conduct, man. I got to get this out, in and out. I got you. I'm about to hook you up.
Relax.
Sit down. I got
you.
So there's a stat that probably people have been paying attention to for the past couple of years. I have not paid attention to this. For the past 14 years, Mike Tomlin has had a winning season every year with the Steelers and fought off the Cowboys. Well, I thought the Cowboys would steal that game. I'm up here telling a lot of people. I'm like, watch the Cowboys win this game out of nowhere. And everybody and their mother thinking the Steelers going to win this game. And sure enough, the Cowboys came to play with a four-string quarterback. And I'm like, what in the world? They even injured Big Ben. Big Ben was up there hobbling around. And somehow, some way, the Steelers pulled that thing off, and it hurt me to watch Eric Ebron score the touchdown to get it. So I'm like, man, like, watching this guy and all of the havoc he caused from Detroit to Indianapolis and now being comfortable in Pittsburgh. Your thoughts on how things went down Sunday and how crazy this is getting for the Dallas Cowboys and entering a bye. Do they get another win?
Yeah, I think they do get another win. Depending upon what they do at the quarterback position. I will say this. I have to tip my cap to the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I as the lone Steelers fan in the building, one of the loudest on social media, I honestly thought this game would be over by halftime. And I said this on this blog I write for, but, I do believe that the Steelers players in uniform thought they would just show up and the Cowboys would roll over, and play dead. You know what I'm saying? What people don't understand is Mike McCarthy from Pittsburgh. You know what I'm saying? Mike McCarthy beat the Steelers in Chester Stadium as a coach for the Green Bay Packers for the Super Bowl. So if there was ever going to be a game where the Dallas Cowboys got up for, it was this one. You know what I'm saying? So, again, I tip my cap to them. We sleptwalked through 75-80% of that game, woke up, and managed to pull one out. again, I can't, you know, take anything away from what the Cowboys did. With that being said, the Cowboys come out of this bye. That division is still up in the air. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles play one of the hardest schedules coming out of their bye, so I do expect them to flounder some. You still play the likes of the Washington football team one more time on Thanksgiving. You do play the New York football Giants. So they're still winnable games on the horizon for the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm not that naive to think or assume that they don't get any of them. As a matter of fact, if you're a fan of the NFC East, you know, all four teams are still mathematically in this division and can, you know, catch lightning in the bottle. It's going to be funny because when we do the predictions on Sunday, the Washington team plays the Detroit Lions, which is going to be fun. It's going to be fun to predict. But I digress. So I do think the Dallas Cowboys get another win. If you can get a couple wins, and it makes sense to see what happens with them.
Barry, you my brother, right?
No doubt. I said no doubt, brother, no doubt.
So are you going to love me after I say this? You ready?
Yeah, sure. Talk to me.
The Giants will win this matchup. I think they have the Cowboys, right?
The Eagles. They play the Eagles.
The Eagles. Okay, no, that's what it is. They will win this matchup against the Eagles and be damn near in first place. That's how it pans out.
That's how bad it is.
Right now, I'm saying it right here, right now, in the middle of New York, the Giants will win this game and be in first place somehow. Watch.
I mean, you know, TP, it's going to be a tough game because the Eagles are coming off a bye and they're getting healthy. I think Alshon Jeffrey should be able to play. And I think DeSean Jackson should be ready to play. Goddard. I think Goddard and Jeffrey should be ready to play. So it'll be a tougher game than it was last time. But the Giants went into Lincoln Stadium and had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes to play. So I wouldn't count them out.
Don't the Giants have a 10-point lead in every
saying it right
in
now,
every
Barry.
Game
I'm saying
this
right now.
Absolutely.
Barry, I'm saying
absolutely.
This right now.
Absolutely.
On air. I'm saying this on air right now, Barry. I'm going with the Giants to pull this off against Philly. Look, Danny Dimes got to redeem himself. Listen. Danny Dimes got to redeem himself from running 80 yards and falling flat on his face in front of America. Something has to give. There's no way. I feel like this is just going to be all mayhem.
We all said that he's not Danny Dimes. He has not earned that moniker, and I don't think he ever will. But I do think the Giants have a good shot of beating the Eagles at home. Coming off a win against the Washington football team. But seriously, the Cowboys put up a good fight against. If anybody will figure out how to lose a game in Jerry's world, it's the Cowboys. But seriously, Mike Tomlin is the best coach in football. Right now he's the best coach in football, and pound for pound I'll put him against anybody. Listen, Belichick is Belichick. Pound for pound, I'll put Tomlin against any head coach in the league. And it's refreshing that a minority coach. Huh?
He can compete, yes, but come on, he's the best coach in the NFL.
Super fast. I think I'll put him up against anybody. I'll put him up against the guy hasn't had a losing season.
I got two coaches right now.
Go ahead, TB, real quick.
No. Two coaches, Belichick, Andy Reid. And right now, I'm putting them two up against him.
Okay, then that's fine. But you know what?
You'll lose if you put Andy Reid up against Mike Tomlin.
Because Tomlin got his Super Bowl, and Andy Reid got losing records.
Andy Reid got a Super Bowl.
Andy Reid
got one. He just got his Super Bowl. He probably should have had a couple more. But listen, Tomlin is a great coach, and he's one of the best coaches in the league. In my opinion, he's probably the best. And it's up for debate. Listen, Belichick is Belichick. I'm not saying he's better than Belichick, but right now, Tomlin is the best coach to me in this league, and he doesn't get enough props for what he did last year. I think he gets props, but not enough. He had no quarterback, and he had a really good defense and had an 8-8 team and had that team in the playoff hunt. And it's refreshing to see a minority coach. Like, they just came up with that rule that they're going to expand the playoffs and then give draft incentives to teams that hire minority coaches and GMs.
I
can count on my hand. Say that again, serious?
I hate that new rule, by the way, but you know, that's what I'm talking about.
No, I agree with you. I hate the premise of the rule. I like that they're trying to get minorities jobs, but I hate the premise that you get to reward these guys for doing something they should already be doing. But that's another timeline. We'll have to talk about that another time. But I just love that, you know, there's great minority coaches like Tomlin and Flores in Miami. Nobody's talking about what that guy's doing. You know, but I can count on my hand how many coaches and GMs there are of minority descent. Ron Rivera, Tomlin, Flores. I mean, and that's your list. I mean, it's a joke. It really is. But, you know, listen, I give props to the Steelers. For Tomlin, that's a guy that when he got hired, people were scratching their head like, huh? Why would you hire that guy? There was other candidates. He came out of nowhere. He was a defensive back coach out of Minnesota. While the ownership, they gave him the job, and they proven him right.
Here's the funny thing. I wanted us to hire Kenny Wisenhunt that year. I wanted us to hire Kenneth Wisenhunt. Offensive coordinator after Bill Cowher left. I got the phone call from my uncle. He goes, Aaron, we may hire this dude who's coaching defensive backs named Mike Tomlin. I go, who the F is that? So I went online and started doing some digging the other night. Well, he's tight with Tony Dungy, you know what I'm saying? Tony Dungy.
Yep.
You know, another cat who I hold in the highest regard. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So if the Steelers hire him or whatnot, you know what I'm saying, he does come with decent pedigree. And we end up hiring him. I sat there like a kid at Christmas watching his introductory press conference. I'm like, yo, this dude is dropping bars. Like, is he doing a press conference or cutting the album? Like, what's good? And, you know, it's been curtains ever since. But, yeah, I mean, I love my coach and everything like that. But at the end of the day, to say that Andy Reid, he's putting hands to my boy.
Oh, what's wrong with Andy Reid?
No, that's not a bad pick, TP. I don't think that's a bad pick. Sir, what do you got, sir?
So here's my thing with Andy Reid, you know what I'm saying? And the longevity of not only their career, but at the location of their career needs to be said. I don't think if Patrick Mahomes, God forbid, if Patrick Mahomes went down in week two this past year, that Andy would have the Kansas City Chiefs where they're at. It wouldn't happen. I don't think that, you know what I'm saying, he had tons of opportunity in Philly, never got it done. Been out of football, gets the call for Kansas City, and, you know, he boxed himself into arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever live, and now you want to throw, you know, him above Mike Tomlin, who's been in the same organization for 14 years, never lost, never had a losing season, had a Super Bowl to his credit, you know what I'm saying, been to another one, you know, I mean, the statistics speak for himself. Like, Mike Tomlin has the second highest winning percentage in football behind the Belichick character. The stats don't lie. You know what I'm saying? You roll the ball out there, and Mike Tomlin's on the other sideline, 9 times out of 10, he's emerging victorious.
Hey, he gets another chip. He's definitely a way ahead of
Andy Reid was in Philly since the 90s and just left recently, I want to say, 4 or 5 years ago? Maybe, and then he got to Kansas City and turned this thing around. I really blame a lot of that went on in Philadelphia on management. They had opportunity after opportunity to keep all those pieces together. They were sending people every which way but loose. they watched that stuff go down between T.O. and management more or less, and then Andy Reid sent them home, and then that went crazy. But they got to the Super Bowl with nobody other than Donovan. Like, let's be honest. Like, T.O. wasn't playing those last couple of games. Andy Reid got it done. Andy Reid is helping guys like Brian Westbrook's name be relevant if it wasn't for him in Philadelphia. Like, there's a lot of things that Andy Reid brought to the table, let alone what he did in Philly. Now that he has the powerhouse in Kansas City, you'll be hard-pressed to find a team that's going to stop them. They may have lost to the Raiders, but that's like, come on. I felt like that was a damn Vegas game, and they were playing Vegas. Like, let's be honest here. Like, Andy Reid looked like he's going right back to the Super Bowl. Who in the AFC going to stop him?
Steelers. That's the only team that can handle
them.
I mean, the Steelers can rush with four.
That's the only opportunity you got. That is the only opportunity you got.
That's it. Seriously. We can talk preview on that when that happens in the playoffs. I hope it does. But Steelers are the only team that can score with them probably pound for pound and have a defense that can rush four, sit back with seven, and try to defend them, try to slow them down, because you're not going to slow them down. It'll be a great game. It'll be fun to watch. But
Here's the thing. I am the resident Silver fan here, and if there was one team I don't want to be, it's Kansas City. And not because I don't think we can beat them. It's just that that's just a problem I don't want to deal with, because that offense is electric.
To borrow from the Nature Boy, to beat the man. To be the man, woo! You got to beat the man. So I mean, you can't run for him.
I'm with it, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm kind of hoping they run into like Tennessee, somebody to beat them up, muck the game up a little bit. You know,
you don't sound confident, man. You don't sound like a hungry fan, man. You gotta want that smoke.
There you go. Wait, hold on.
Don't get it twisted.
Barry called you out. Barry called you out. Look, yo, I got my man. Yo, my man, you hear this?
Yo,
you hear what's going on right now?
Yeah, man. Unfortunately, man, I'm down here in Atlanta, and because that swamp city to the south of us, it's causing crazy weather. It's rainy and windy out here, man. So I don't know if y'all can hear me too good. Yeah, man, New Orleans curse, typical New Orleans, always causing other people problems. But look. As far as, like, the conversation y'all having, I don't know, man. I think that's an opinion thing. I think some people are going to be in the Tomlin camp. Some people are going to be in the Reed camp. Me personally, I would go Reed just because he's done it in two places, which is really hard to do. I think you got to give Reed the edge. But Reed has what, 5-7 more years possibly? Tomlin's probably got a lot longer to kind of build his resume even more. But either way, though, we're talking about the elite of the elite. These are the top three coaches in the NFL, man. So them dudes deserve their respect.
Okay. Settle down. Picnic plate here. Listen. Belichick or Tomlin, who do you got?
No, it's Belichick. Like, the question is Reed or Tomlin.
I didn't want to be the buff dude in the kitchen because I felt like I was being outnumbered. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I didn't want to be that dude. But I understand where they're coming from because of how he's looking right now with not all his pieces being around him. But, you know, his resume speaks for itself also. And this is – his resume speaks outside of itself outside of New England, but if we're just looking at head coaching, what he was able to do in New England itself speaks for itself. So that's why I said
his resume would be his D coordinator career in New York. That would be their whole resume. That's just
New England.
You know what I'm saying?
Belichick's going to go down as one of the greatest coaches of all time. I don't want to put Tomlin ahead of him.
I was about to say D.
I can't. It's hard to do that. It's
Why?
Hard for me to
Why?
Do that.
Who do you put above him? Who?
I have to put Lombardi. I have to.
Barry.
Why?
Barry, listen to this. Lombardi invented this game. Hold on. Barry, you should be up here paying homage because he helped get two for you. He even helped the defense in New York get it. Hello, did I lose him?
Oh. No, I'm here. Go ahead. Go ahead, finish.
You know, he helped you get 287 and 91. Like, if we really count his ring total, it's stupid. He has eight. Who are the defensive coordinator with El Camo? Yeah, you know. That's why you're smiling. Look, I'm good always prevails. Good always prevails. I'm not going to watch you let me evil. Look. So, and it, he got sixth as a head coach. Like, let's be honest. Listen, let alone his resume is ridiculous. Like, ridiculous. You saying Lombardi when there was eight teams in the league. It was 18.
Oh, come on. We can't. Listen, we're not going to do that. We're not going to compare leagues to leagues, okay? I'm going to look at it like this. Lombardi has 7 trophies, right? And he won some as a offensive coordinator with the Giants before that, right? Okay. Everywhere he went, he won. Even in freaking high school basketball, the guy won, okay? He didn't know anything about basketball.
And by offensive coordinator,
he won,
you mean a guy
okay?
who had a playbook with 4 plays in it.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, it's a close contest to me, okay? Belichick is going to probably go down as the greatest coach because he lives in our era. This is the guy we see. I've seen documentaries on Vince Lombardi. This guy lost 1 playoff game. 1. And never lost again. Ever. That's it. That's why he's the greatest coach. The guy invented the West Coast offense before anybody even knew what it was. The guy was an offensive innovator and lost 1 playoff game.
I think you can make an argument for Bill Walsh being better than Lombardi, man. I'm sorry, man. Like,
no,
it's always
absolutely
so much
not.
We can do with this.
That's blasphemy. Nope. We're not
so
doing
much.
That, Naj. Nope.
And if you're going to make that argument, you can't on the other end start making Michael Jordan arguments. You got to immediately give everything to Bill Russell at that point if we're playing that game.
If we're playing rings, Lombardi has rings. I'm just saying the things that Lombardi has done has innovated the game. Everybody's standing on his shoulder. When they rename the trophy the Bill Belichick Award, then I'll give him his props over Lombardi. Lombardi invented the game that we're watching right now. Period. That's it. Period.
Dude, that image of him standing on the sideline with a hoodie. That's going to be in black and white, man. Like, that's going to be the image
that they talk about.
And there will be a trophy named after him, bro. Like,
I'm not trying to take away his flowers while he's still alive. But people got to put respect on Lombardi's name. Like, I don't think people understand how great of a coach he was. Like, how great of a – not good, great. He's one of the greatest coaches of all sports ever, ever.
No, ain't nobody taking away his greatness or what he was able to do up there. But come on, Barry. Like, there was not enough teams where you could draw a comparison, let alone Belichick is doing it in the era.
Hold on.
Okay, and Belichick did too. And he's doing it in the era where he's bigger, stronger, faster athletes. Think about that. Look at all of the quarterbacks that he had to compete with.
I want you to rack your brain.
Time out. I want you to rack your brain with Bart Starr and them. What quarterback did he stop from getting a championship? He was slowing down or stopping either Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Steve McNair, God rest his soul. I could go on and on with the names that he was stopping or having to compete with in the AFC championship. Like, these are Hall of Fame names. These are Hall of Fame names.
How many championship games did Bill Belichick lose?
How many championships or Super Bowls?
Championship game, Super Bowl. How many did he lose?
He lost 3 as a as a head coach, Super Bowls,
and 1 as a defensive coordinator. With the Patriots in '96. How many did Vince Lombardi lose? How many championships
what,
did
none.
He lose? How many championship games?
None, right?
Okay. That's all.
Barry, but okay, I'm helping you answer your question right now. Let's be fair.
Okay.
Because I'm helping you your question. You didn't answer mine. You skipped and asked me a question. What quarterback from that era did he stop?
Johnny Unitas.
And Johnny still won 1. Okay, that's 1. Now here go another one. Give me another one.
After he left Green Bay.
Yeah,
okay,
man. We're comparing tic-tac-toe to chess. Like, yeah, this dude was winning in the tic-tac-toe era. salute. He's a pioneer. Great coach. Nothing wrong with
God.
That. But when you're talking about in the day of free agency, multi-million dollar teams, stadiums, fully stocked rosters, not a situation where one team has the majority of the talent and does all of the winning. That's the NBA stuff with the Celtics. That's the similarity with Lombardi. So, I mean, it is what it is. Like, get that dude his credit. He's one of the best to ever do it. But I don't think you can compare him to people who had to go through a much, much tougher road to get to what
different
they're doing. Like, it's
doesn't
a totally
make it
different
better,
game,
Nas.
Man.
Different doesn't make it better. That's just my opinion. Different doesn't make it better. Just because there's more teams that dilute the talent,
like,
and that there's more crappy teams. There's more crappy teams now than there was back then. How many shitty teams
I want you to pull up that old-timey pass play to Frank Gifford they showed on Twitter a couple weeks ago where that pass play they threw to the end zone. And you tell me about these athletes that they were watching at that time. And you compare
shitty teams are there right now? How many? They're all in the NFC East, and then you got the Jets.
All I'm telling you,
there's a lot of easy wins out there for these teams.
Would run for 10,000 yards in that era off one play.
there's
a whole different level of athlete, bro. I'm sorry.
But the level of athlete doesn't mean it was easier to win a championship back then. It was still hard to win a championship back then, and he did it for straight years. I mean, after he lost his first playoff game, he didn't lose another one. And that was
Next year, we're going to have
five plays. Years.
You guys are going to be in trouble. We're going to have five plays in the playbook. You're in trouble, buddy. Come on.
Right. You know what? That shows you how great he was because he only ran four plays in his freaking playbook, and they still couldn't stop him because he was a legendary coach. How about that? They got all these plays. They got plays on your wrist. They got transmitters in your ears, quarterbacks being told what to do by all kinds of coordinators, running all kinds of plays. He had no freaking transmitter in the headphones or in the helmet. He had four plays, and he won eight straight championships. Push that to the middle of the table.
Watch it. Serious. Who do you think is better, Lombardi or Belichick?
Serious, still there?
There you go.
I'm not to go Belichick.
There we go. Look. And he don't like him. And he in the AFC with him. Look at him. That's what you call humble pie.
Oh, that makes it right. That makes it right. Because Sirius said Belichick. Listen, I'm not disrespecting Belichick. I'm putting respect on Vince Lombardi's name. I didn't say Belichick's not a great coach. I know he's top three easily. Probably number two.
You already gave Tomlin the edge. Then we had to correct that, put something else on the grill.
I said he's the best coach right now.
Right now,
Tomlin's the best coach in the league.
Fine. And then you went back as far as Lombardi, where Green Bay was only playing against the Giants, the Bears. It wasn't even the Cowboys back then. The Giants, the Bears, the Steelers, the Redskins and the Cardinals. Like, those are all the teams that
God.
They played.
Oh, my God. The Steelers weren't even in the NFL. Like, the Steelers were in the AFL.
Man, them dudes
were
working at
the Lions, the Bears, the Vikings.
Right. They
hey,
were
Coach,
smoking.
I got to go. I got to ship over at the concrete factory. I got to go, Coach. Oh, okay. We'll see you tomorrow, Johnson.
Oh, my God. There was at least 12 teams. At least 12 teams in the NFL back then. 12 teams.
Hey, Coach, I can't show up this Sunday, man. They gave me another shift, man. I got to work this shift, brother. I'm sorry, Coach. I can't. Worry about it, man. I understand.
Right. That's what you're picking. This is what you're picking. Stop, man. Stop.
What was they running in the 40 then, man?
What
they were running in the 40. Nobody, they couldn't catch him back then. Who cares? You know what?
whatever.
We
ran into overtime. It was a good discussion.
I don't mean to step on your NAIA football. I'm sorry, man. But,
Listen. It's a great discussion to have. I encourage everybody to feel differently than the villain because it brings out the evil in everybody else because they don't want to see it the way the villain sees it. That's fine. I wanted to talk about Brady getting kind of like sunned by Bruce Arians, but I mean, now that we're talking about Lombardi, fine.
Talk about it. Because that's something I missed. Talk about that. Listen, the whole ordeal. Talk about that.
I mean, I'll get into it quick, and then we should probably close the grow up. Like, listen, Bruce Arians is the first couple times you call out Brady, okay, fine, but at this point when you're calling him out, that's kind of disrespectful because everybody says it, and I agree, the game plan was shit. I mean, what do you expect from Brady when you're already down like 14-0 and you haven't even blinked yet? And then you're running this god awful game plan against a defense that can get after the quarterback with four guys, and you're dropping them back for 5-7 step passes to throw it way downfield. It didn't make any sense. The coordinator Leftwich and Bruce Arians had a terrible game plan. They didn't adjust at all in the game to get the ball out of Brady's hands quicker. I mean, the defense did not show up to play, and you're calling out Tom Brady. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. But Tom Brady is having a good year, not a great year. He's not having like his quintessential year. He's having an okay year. He's having a good year. But this is the team that should have got beat by the Giants on Monday night. That's the team that walked at home against the Saints and got their butts kicked. And the coaching staff didn't adjust at all in the game and allowed the Saints to keep kicking their heads in. So Bruce Arians should point that finger right back at himself instead of pointing it at Tom Brady.
The interesting thing that is that
you can't yell at nobody else. So if you yell at Brady, you can yell at anybody. And to a certain degree, he's kind of been undermined by Brady. So I could see him trying to man up and let everybody know he's still running things. Sadly,
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like,
I
once
agree.
Brady walks into the building, he has more juice than Arians does. Arians, I mean, he
I
doesn't
agree.
Want to accept that, so he's going to fight against it, but it is what it is. They're going to sink or swim with him, but, man, that dude's 43 years old. He's going to look bad sometimes. He looked bad the other day.
But you,
and honestly,
you
I don't know
in-house.
What problem.
You keep that in-house, though, Notch, I feel. Like, if you want to call him out, but in the quarterback room. To do that in public,
but
if
you feel like
back,
this dude is kind of undermining you, I can understand it because you want
I
everybody
totally
else to know.
I agree with you.
Like,
I
run
totally
this
agree
you
with
know
you.
Football coaches are territorial. So I can see him acting like that. But here's my thing. What does bringing in AB actually do? Because
nothing.
You already got trouble getting the ball to Mike Evans. You're having trouble getting the ball to Chris Godwin because of the limitations of this old man. So what does bringing in AB do? Now you have another mouth to feed. How does Mike Evans feel about this? Anybody ever talked about him and his contract going in the future when he has a season on his record that's going to say 5 yards per catch? You know what I'm saying? 40 balls. Like, anybody ask them anything? So I don't know, man. I think they got a lot of problems in that locker room and it's going to show up, man. Not to mention we just had an election.
I agree.
I don't know how that plays with his teammates either.
Because he's pro-Trump.
I totally agree, though.
And that's a whole other thing. The one thing that bothers me about this team is why the heck did y'all sit up there and go get Fournette to start Ronald Jones? Now, don't get me wrong. Ronald Jones is a good running back, but if we had to pick between Fournette, Shady McCoy, and Ronald Jones to tote the rock, y'all going with Ronald Jones? Yo, Shady is on that bench like he's a bum. Like, they got Shady sitting there just sitting there. Let's get rid of him.
Shady kind of washed, though, Ty.
Look, you got to show me that juke move. Show me somebody that can stop that juke move. With Brady and that receiver core, that's a threat. He's a threat. There's no way that he's
I think if
you
tried that juke move right now, you might bust a hip.
Wow.
Not for long, man. The game changed fast on it, bro. You know what I'm saying? Had a spark when you started, but – I mean, that's what it is, bro.
Don't try to hit me. Don't try to hit me with no takeover line. Yo, you better stop, yo. What's wrong with you?
I'm just saying, bro. I'm a Shady McCoy.
No, but you know what it is, though? You know what? I totally agree with Nodge. Like, I think Arians is trying to get at him. At Tom Brady. This is a guy that got Jimmy Garoppolo traded out of New England because he was jelly. All right, let's be actual factual. He went over Belichick's head and went to Daddy Kraft, and said, "I want this guy gone. I don't want him here no more." Okay, so this is a guy that went over Arians' head when Arians came out at the beginning of the year, said, "I don't want AB on my team." He went over his head and said, "I want AB," and it got him. So listen. I can see where Arians is trying to assert his authority over Tom Brady, but you ain't got a leg to stand on. Their game plan was garbage, and this team for 2 weeks hasn't looked like a team that's going to go toe to toe with the Packers and the Seahawks right now. I mean, real talk, and the Saints.
I'm gonna bring up old food, right? Because this is something that I cooked up with Nas before. I want to see how you feel about it. You may have been present. Do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win the South?
No.
So you think it's the Saints? The Saints win the division?
Yeah, Saints win the division. They swept them this year, so that's two wins against them. I picked them to win the game on Sunday night, and they proved me right by a lot. So even if they do finish with a tie, they have a tiebreaker. So they're essentially a game behind as it is. And it's, you know, the Saints, I think they're starting to get it together. They're going to get Michael Thomas back, healthy as the year goes on. You know, listen, everybody was saying that Breeze was washed. Breeze don't look that washed to me. Listen, they're not going to overtake the Saints. Do I think the Saints are going to go to the Super Bowl? Probably not. But I think the Saints have the right team to frustrate Brady and the Buccaneers because they have a defensive line that can get after you, can get pressure on you where they don't have to blitz, and that's what Tom Brady doesn't like. He doesn't like to get moved off the spot. He doesn't like pressure from the front guys because if you sit back in zone, Brady will pick you apart. You go man, Brady will pick you apart. But if you can play man or zone with four guys rushing at you, getting in your face, It's a problem. I think the Saints have that kryptonite.
All right, fair enough. Nas, are you still sticking with it? You think it's Tampa Bay? I mean, you think it's the Saints that still win the South, right?
Yeah, probably the Saints, man. Like I said, I just wasn't big on Brady to begin with. And the thing about the Saints is when Drew Brees' arm strength starts to waver again, they still got other ways to kind of work around it because they've been doing it the past few years. Where in Tampa, I think it's going to be a shock to them as the season goes along, like what really happens to this dude as far as arm strength and being able to deliver. These people 43, man. Like, we can't forget that.
Stop picking on him, man. Stop picking on him. Leave that boy alone. Leave that boy alone.
Nah, he chose to come back. He chose to put that Wizards jersey on. You know what I mean? He chose to come back. He could have retired, walked into the sunset.
Stop. All right, so we are at the tail end of the show because Barry didn't like the way things are being cooked on the grill, but I like it. That's beautiful stuff. Nas, you didn't hear my prediction.
I love it.
I'm thinking, hold, slow down. I don't do that to you. Stop. All right?
Yes, you do.
Listen,
yes,
I made a prediction, Nas. Look, bold prediction. The Giants beat the Eagles Sunday, and what, they're tied or they get first place? How does that work out? I think they'd be tied.
No, they'll be like a half game behind because of the tie, because the Eagles have that tie.
Yeah, because Philly has the tie. But it'd be crazy the way that the Giants came out the gate and could tie this thing up or just have the same amount of wins, i.e. the Eagles, or depending on what Washington and what I think the Cowboys are on a bye this week. So, but it would be crazy just to see a 3-7 Giants team have the division lead. That would just be unreal.
Listen, you got to give them
props. But the Eagles got Miles Sanders coming back, Alshon Jeffrey coming back. So I don't know, bro.
That's what I said, Nas. I mean, they got Goddard back, too. They should have Goddard back for the game. So it'll be a tough game. But, listen, as bad as Danny Jones or whatever has looked in the team, but
Danny Dimes.
They play hard week. Every week they play hard. They've gotten better as the season's gone on. I think the defense is playing a lot better. I mean, it's still a shitty 2-7 team, but you know what? They easily could have been like 6-3. Like, there's games that they should have won. They should have beat Dallas. They should have beat the Eagles. They should have beat Tampa Bay. That's three wins right there. So, I mean, hey, I know it's a team that, you know, if they win that game, you wouldn't be surprised.
I will be surprised.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm calling.
It's kind of like the Bears, man. It's kind of like the Bears. The Bears got a bunch of wins that they probably shouldn't have, so their record says they're better than what they are. But when you actually watch them, you know, they're average to terrible. Mm-hmm. So same thing with the Giants. But, yeah, Joe Judge is building, though, man. So you can kind of see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing without Daniel Jones next year, we'll really see something.
I think they'll give Danny Jones another year. I think they'll give him another year.
Look, he's a fan. He likes Bitcoin, Nas. He likes Mr. Bitcoin,
Nas. No, it's not like liking him. It's not liking him. I see enough good to know that you could probably fix the correctable mistakes. Okay, they're turnovers of him trying to do too much. You know, take the sack, take the dump down. When you get Tom Brady, does it all the time. He's the greatest quarterback of all time, right? So it's easily correctable mistakes. So
wow, did he just say that on air? And what else did you say on air? You said you've seen enough what in him?
Good.
Wow, good always prevails. I'm telling you, that is the wow, Sports City. I did not even talk to him all day, and he's talking good. Good always prevails.
I talked
to
you all
look,
day.
Look,
what are you talking about?
Look,
I talked to you all day. Get out of here.
We
lie to the people. Don't lie to the people.
We texted, but I didn't tell him the good always prevails part, people. He said he's seen enough good. Look, this is beautiful, Sports City. I don't know what's going on with him. But I know that he's been happy. But I won't even feed into that. I'll just say that he's been putting up LGM, people. I just want you to know that he's been screaming LGM. And I told you this, guys, weeks ago on how he feels about New York. His real loyalty
is not in LeBron.
Excuse me, it's not in LeBron.
You can't do that.
Wait,
people will believe that. You can't do that.
Hold on. Hold on, people. I told you before. He is not loyal to the Bronx. He is loyal to the toilet bowl called Flushing.
You can't do that. I don't do this.
You don't listen. I don't do this to you. You don't put up LGM. You could just say Mets talk or something. You can put up LGM. LGM. There's only one slogan that people out here know with LGM. You must have put on blue and orange and get some blue and orange Bo Jacksons and call it a day. That's all I'm saying. Now,
listen,
I heard
you can't sit here and tell people that I'm not loyal to the Bronx because they'll believe that. Listen,
shout out to my dad.
He's a big week for the Mets fans. They got Stevie Cohen's money, and he came out on that Zoom call and said, "We are a big market team, and we will act accordingly." If you were a Mets fan like my father and my grandfather, rest in peace, you have to be happy that Stevie Cohen and his beautiful money is in Flushing, New York now, and is about to get. They're already in the mix for Bauer and Lindor. The Mets fans should be happy.
Nas, you hear the energy that he has? Nas, you hear the energy? And listen, this is your division rival, you being a Brave. You know, and he's so upbeat, and he's calling Steve Cohen Stevie. Like, they even got nicknames. They even got a nickname. Listen, LGM is all I needed to see. That's all I needed to see. Everything else is falling right into place. But proceed. Now.
I knew you'd love that, though. I knew you'd like that.
There's something I could tell him about Cohen that would kind of ruin the whole little honeymoon. But I'm not gonna do that because he seemed happy about it. So I'm not even gonna tell him.
No, go ahead. We're here. We got a couple minutes.
I'm not gonna tell you. Look, let me work. Let me work. Y'all taking the spatula out of my hand. Let me work. So, I got a question for y'all, and this to me is more interesting than Cohen. Let's say you called somebody who was a provider. Let's say a provider of things, and they told you, "Hey, I got that Daniel Jones pack on deck." When they pulled up to your house, what would you expect for that to be? High grade or mid grade?
You better stop right now. People are listening to you.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Listen,
I'm saying,
if somebody said
what
they had Daniel Jones, look, if they said that they had Daniel Jones on deck, I would say mid grade.
See, I think that tells everything right there, man. If your
provider was describing
his pack in that way, that's what you would expect. You would know that when you went to the ATM, okay, I don't need to get that much. There's some of that mid.
Right.
I think that just proves the point, man. That's all I'm saying, man. Don't trust that guy.
Horrible.
Run him out of town.
All right. City. All right, we are going to close this show as best as possible. There go Nas being funny, but I needed him at the right time to come close the door on the villain and Aaron Simmons. These two are trying to go crazy. I'm not letting that happen. I got people out here too. So, Nas, you already know. Give me a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote if we shut the lid here on the grill at the cookout.
Yeah, so to all of y'all who've been celebrating this fake college football season, what do you think now?
Why? What's wrong? This is actually good. Notre Dame knocked off the Wicked Witch. Hey,
man, this
asterisk
season, I ain't respecting none of it.
And now you're watching college sports, too. You're hilarious. Sports City, did you catch him on air? You caught him on air. He's watching. He's watching. He may say he don't watch it, but he's watching college sports too. He probably watched college basketball.
No, I'm looking at final scores and cancellations and hating. That's all I'm doing. I don't get to enjoy it. Y'all ain't getting to enjoy it this year. So that's all it is.
Hey, Miami look good to me. Barry, you already know what to do. Plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut the lid on the grill here at the cookout.
No, man, lovely show, Nas and Aaron Simmons. Thanks for coming through and chopping it up. I love going back and forth. We'll have to do it again. Greatest coach of all time. But we didn't even get to James Harden, how everybody wants to leave him. You know, first it was Dwight Howard, then Chris Paul, now Russell Westbrook wants out. I mean, we need to have a serious conversation about James Harden. It's not you, it's me. But seriously, great show, TP, my brother, always a pleasure. And you know what? And I wanted to talk about Tony La Russa too, and his drunken escapades.
Oh,
we just don't have enough time.
We just
never get enough time, brother.
That's bad because I wanted to talk about La Russa too, but there's so much I could squeeze.
All I gotta say is the guy should be fired. He should be fired. And he should have never got the job to begin with, but he should be fired. But thank you, TP. I'm going to sit back and chill and let you go with.
Wait, say that again, Nas?
What did you say?
I said that man didn't get his key card yet. HR ain't talked to him yet.
He didn't get his key fob to get into the garage. He's already drunk and doing a DUI, man. It's just crazy.
Yeah, how much could we pick on him? It happened in February, though. You know what I'm saying? And this is before they even came to him, you know? So I understand, and I'm kind of on your side, but I know that his name has power because
of his
record.
No, it was the day before. Kai, it was the day before. The day before he got hired.
Oh, well, if that's the case, then it changes the scenario. I thought it was something back in February from what I read, so I'm going to have to reread that. But if this is recent, then he's in trouble.
The DUI happened on the 28th. Of October, he got hired on the 29th. Why? What happened?
That's a wild boy, man.
Yeah, he man, I can't look. One, I don't want to see him because he has a history. He's a good skip. Like, I can't take that, and he's in my division with the White Sox, and the White Sox are turning it around. They got a good offense, so I don't want to see him turn that thing around. So I'm with you. I am with you. I do want to talk about that Harden situation. I don't want to see – well, I want to see how this all unfolds. Because if Russ is able to speak on how this doesn't work with him and Harden, this is a whole bigger fish to fry. This may be shark on a doggone grill, but I'm going to leave it there because more than just a quick one-minute alibi of me getting out of the kitchen. Like, believe me, both of those guys are Thunder guys. Both of them I feel some certain way about, but it is true what Barry is saying. Why is everybody leaving Harden, including Chris Paul, just left last year? Just last year. But this, look, that's neither here nor there. There's a lot more to get into. Y'all got to get back into this doggone kitchen. I'll be back in here Sunday, 11 a.m. in the morning, brunching this thing up. Hopefully we get everybody back in here on the cookout next Wednesday, same spot, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard at this Bat Channel. Food for thought. Hopefully y'all do the dishes. Tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef's again. And if you don't know, amen.
I'm just a picture. Picture okay. In a frame. Pause. I don't control.
I paint word pictures on
I don't
the
control
canvas
the colors.
Life.
It's nothing like it. Yo, yeah. I'm 10 steps ahead of niggas. That shit's scary. Sometimes I feel ahead of myself. I hear this voice in the back of my mind. Like Mac, maintain, just grind, all better yourself. So what I do, I take heed and pick up the pace. Can't explain it when I pick up my son and look at my face. I'm like a black rose growing in the concrete, cracking the pavement. Did that voice go again? Mac, practice for greatness. You pay for them immaculate statements. Keep thinking of them hotlines like a psychic. I can't explain it, there's no pen when I write it. It's nothing like it.